Cannibal Camp Show.
It's a little harsh. Here, cannonball it. Go right back. And then one more, he's right on top of cannonball.
This show is best consumed when cannonballed. Welcome aboard for a special April 20th edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Jeff Downing serving as our acting associate producer on the other side of the glass tonight. Little nod to what day it is on the calendar. Some of you will get it, some of you will not, and that's just fine by me. It is a big program in store for you as we take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We mentioned Mark Morehouse joining the program at 6:30 tonight. He'll be our final guest this week as we count down the now hours until kickoff tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium for Iowa's spring game. Also going to be talking about the NFL draft today with Dan Kadar from the website Mocking the Draft on the SB Nation Network. We'll take our final look inside the positions of strength and or weakness for the Hawkeyes as well today. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to be talking about Nathan Stanley and Tyler Wiegers and who ultimately wins out as Iowa's starting quarterback in the fall. It is also Thursday. That means Jeff's going to join us in the studio for a little Would Ya. We'll hear highlights of yesterday's news conference with Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz, as well as a little bit more of Kirk Ferentz also. And there is, I believe, a hockey game tonight. Someone told me at 7 o'clock, I don't know, Nashville and Chicago, yeah, I've kind of given up on that series. But I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch it. As a matter of fact, I did everything ahead of time tonight that I normally do after the show is over, Alex. So don't be surprised to see me scoot out the door, and the only question is whether or not the Blackhawks will be in a 1-0 hole by the time I pull into the driveway. I miss everything when I leave here. I missed Dexter Fowler's leadoff home run in Game 7 of the World Series last fall because it happened between leaving work and getting home. So we'll see what happens tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Blackhawks and the Predators. That's going to be the subject, by the way, of our Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Do the Blackhawks stave off elimination tonight? How'd things turn out last night for the Blues and the Wild, Alex?
Minnesota Wild came away 2-0 victory, and it was an ugly
first
period.
Was it Wild?
It really, really wasn't. The Minnesota Wild got on the board first last night on a misplay by the goaltender, Jake Allen, who cleared the puck around the boards directly to Charlie Coyle, who shot it in the open net. And the Blues really couldn't get anything going in the first period. They looked scared. They looked timid in the first period, and the Wild jumped on them and staved off elimination. So this series shifts back to Minnesota for a Game 5 and then would go back to St. Louis for a Game 6 if necessary. And kind of has the feel of here we go again for Blues fans. We've seen similar songs and dances before, and hopefully this one ends a little bit differently. But you mentioned the start times. I selfishly don't mind the 8:30 start, but I do recognize that these 8:30 starts are terrible for the NHL. But the reason I don't mind it is the reason you just brought up. It gives me time to get home and get ready, parked in front of my TV, parked on my couch for these games.
Lots of NBA action on tap tonight, too. The Cavaliers looking to go up 3-0 on the Pacers. The Spurs looking to do the same thing with the Grizzlies. And then Game 3 of Toronto and Milwaukee on tap tonight. Also, 3 other games taking place on the NHL schedule tonight, including the Rangers and the Habs. That'll kick things off at 6 o'clock tonight. The Blue Jackets and Penguins. Pittsburgh can close that series out at 6 o'clock. And then Game 5 between the Sharks and the Oilers. Basketball fans, Hawkeye basketball fans, you're going to want to catch our very first Midwest One Bank Big Board update in about 6 minutes, because there's some big news involving a former Hawkeye basketball player returning to the Big Ten. You're going to want to catch that. Lots of news today out of Polk County and the Des Moines courthouse involving the Jane Meyer trial. Jane Meyer, the former number two in the Iowa Athletic Department, taking the stand today for the first time and Kirk Ferentz's name came up. Some interesting comments were made with regard to Gary Barta, and those covering the trial included our good friend Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We were able to sort of follow along vicariously through Mike and the tweets of some other people that were there inside the courthouse, and I wouldn't say things got necessarily testy today, but Jane Meyer is laying out her case against the university in her claim of discrimination.
This is a huge story, and the reason it's a huge story is because these things usually don't get to trial, because one side doesn't want all the facts being brought against them, and the other side doesn't want the return testimony being laid out in open court. And it seems like Jane Meyer really doesn't care about what the backlash is going to be from the University of Iowa. She has nothing to lose at this point, seemingly, and she is laying everything out there.
She is General Sherman, and she is on her march to the sea, and she is going to burn as many buildings and barns and whatever she can to the ground in the process. And in just reading some of the things that were said today, I have a really hard time buying into at least one thing that came to light today, and that's the fact that Kirk Ferentz apparently took issue with the architectural renderings of the football practice facility, the new complex which Jane Meyer was in charge of spearheading. And according to her, Kirk Ferentz was upset that there were women depicted in the architectural renderings. And this is the ultimate he said, she said. But I'm not buying the fact that Kirk Ferentz chose to pick this particular battle. And when you read more and listen to more of the testimony, what she says is that the architectural firm that was in charge of doing the rendering was under the impression that they were doing a rendering for a multi-use facility. Well, if she was one of the people in charge of heading up the project, then wasn't she one of the people in charge of communicating to the firm what exactly they were looking to draw a rendering of? I know she spearheaded the Carver Hawkeye renovations, and I think she was involved with the football facility, but I'm not quite recalling the timeline off the top of my head. The point being is that I have a really difficult time imagining Kirk Ferentz turning into sort of this 1960s Bear Bryant caricature in which he is flipping out over the fact that women are being depicted. They wanted to show these two recruits, according to Jane Meyer, and Ferentz was very upset. I'm not buying it. And look,
it's so difficult for us right now and for a lot of people following this case, including Mike Halas, who is in Des Moines following this lawsuit and this trial. Because like you just said, it is he said versus she said. And you get one side of the spectrum completely. You get the University of Iowa and pretty much everybody working there completely going against everything that she's saying. And then she comes out with some claims that some really, really strong claims about Gary Barta, and then now about Kirk Ferentz. And you kind of have to sift through some of these and say, does that make sense? The one you just brought up, I just can't imagine that.
Blake Dowson, who's the sports editor at the Daily Iowan, is covering this trial also, and he had some interesting information that he conveyed, his thoughts and what was being said on social media today. And apparently, in August of 2014, there was a meeting following the firing of Tracy Griesbaum as the field hockey coach. And if you haven't been following this trial, Tracy Griesbaum, who was the field hockey coach at Iowa, also happened to be in a relationship with Jane Meyer. And when Griesbaum, whom there were allegations against of player abuse, verbal abuse by at least a couple members of the Iowa field hockey program. Gary Barta made the determination to terminate her. And about a week later, in this meeting, Jane Meyer said, quote, "Your slogan is win, graduate, and do it right. Why aren't we doing the right thing?" To which Gary Barta, according to her testimony, replied along the lines of, you're too close to this situation. Which she was.
She absolutely was.
And there's no possible way that she is the number two in the athletic department could possibly step back and look at this objectively. And there's no way that I could do it. If I worked in the athletic department and they fired someone that I was in a relationship with, there isn't any way that I could step back and sign off on it. Because one way or the other, A, I've either got to go home and look at that person in the eye and say, I love you, but I love my job more. I've got to keep the paycheck coming. Someone's got to pay the mortgage. And then there's, you know, she's talking about blind loyalty is not good as the number two in the department. I don't think Gary Barta was asking for blind loyalty from the sound of it. But the bottom line is that she was too close to the situation. And this trial is going to basically come down to Jane Meyer and her attorneys throwing as much against the wall as they possibly can in the hopes that the people on the jury pick out a couple things that stick and it makes the case for them. And I think she's going to, as I said the other day, I think she's going to get her pound of flesh, and this is going to be ugly, and she's trying to give everybody a black eye that she can, Kirk Ferentz being one of them, Gary Barta certainly number one on the list, and it's far from over because she's not done testifying yet.
I think the second part of your statement there is kind of the one that I look at. How much of this is about influencing the court of public opinion about some of the most powerful figures in athletics in the state of Iowa?
And by the way, the assertion all along has been that no one in the athletic department knew that there was a relationship between Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum. And I will say this, having lived in Iowa City and been around Iowa City for a very long time, it's a much smaller town than the population listed in the census. And news gets around, rumor gets around. People knew that they were in a relationship. I'm not buying for a second that this was a completely secret relationship. A, wildly inappropriate. Also, for the number two person in the athletic department to be in a relationship, and that would be the same as if it were a man and a woman, okay? Just a bad, bad precedent to set. And of course she's too close to the situation. And now what was said yesterday and today is the fact that Jane Meyer took umbrage with Gary Barta firing several women's coaches who also happened to be gay. Take the sexual orientation out of this. It's a red herring, okay? The coaches that he got rid of deserve to go, or you could make the case that they deserve to go. And now Tracy Griesbaum is a little bit of a different case because she was widely respected and Iowa had a very strong field hockey program, but she also had these allegations around her. It's not as if she was fired on her coaching merits alone, wins and losses. But now you've swung so hard in the opposite direction that you've got a last year you had a candidate for an open track position say that he basically couldn't get the job because the directives were coming and saying, we need to hire a woman. You need to write the description and try to push hiring a woman. And then you've got a softball coach who, for all intents and purposes, should have been fired last year. And you can't do anything about it because this lawsuit, multiple lawsuits, because Griesbaum is also suing the university, and Gary Barta can't do anything. So this is going to get even uglier But right now, it's throw as much stuff out there against the wall as you possibly can and see what sticks. And this stuff with Kirk Ferentz and the artist's rendering of the football practice facility just strikes me today as a little bit of a low blow, if you will. I'm not buying it. Guppy, the text line's available for you, 319-366-1600. Jerry Ask Investment Services sponsoring the text line. jkaskinvest.com is the website to go to if you want to chime in on the text line today. And several of you are, Ann, pointing out that I'm sure the attendees of the Iowa Ladies Football Academy would also support Kirk Ferentz there. That would be so out of character. Now, I could see making an offhand comment about, well, there's a lot of women in this drawing for a football facility or something like that. But she's making it out as if this is some sort of comic villain. You know, like he sweeps his arm across the thing as it's on an easel.
That just
says, get these women off my football. No.
From everybody that I've talked to that has had any interaction with Kirk Ferentz or worked with him, some of the people in the athletic office, that would be completely out of character for him. But when you get these type of situations, you just get mudslinging from both sides. And the interesting question is, and we've talked about this, is this going to affect anybody inside the athletic department? Because I think that Jane Meyer, as I said, doesn't really have anything to lose. It just doesn't seem like she does. So the only other effect that this could have would be on people inside the athletic department, whether it's Gary Barda or Kirk Ferentz or anybody that is named in the testimony these next couple of days. I think the important thing to remember is, though, there are two sides to every story, and we have not heard any of the testimony from the athletic department. That's going to come tomorrow. Gary Barda, I believe, is going to be on the stand tomorrow in Des Moines.
He is scheduled to testify tomorrow, and we will continue to cover the goings-on as we are at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Stop on in and join us before the spring football game tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. Happy hour starts at 3 o'clock. We're going to be there from 4 until 7. $2.50 domestic bottles, $2 domestic pints. A lot more to come with this Jane Meyer trial out of Des Moines. And I continue to follow this with a high level of interest because she was not a popular person to work with. And she's not a popular person to deal with if you were a member of the media either, because she had a very low opinion of people who covered the University of Iowa. Universally across the board, she looked down her nose at anybody that was involved in the media. She's in charge of the Carver Hawkeye renovation project, and when it came time to make some budget cuts and scrimp some pennies, one of the first things that she did was to make that post-game interview room at Carver Hawkeye as small as she possibly could to make the donor room next door larger. And if you've been in there,
I have.
It's way too small. It's barely functional, room.
In fact, when they have the players coming in after the game, they put them in the donor room.
And she also famously said when they built the new press box at Kinnick Stadium that the media was going to the very top level because they don't make us any money. And she was openly flaunting it. That's one way to make some enemies. And I will tell you this.
She made a few.
She made more than a few, because when she was out the door at Iowa, I know for a fact that at least there were two different establishments in Iowa City during which employees of the University of Iowa got together to celebrate the fact that she was out the door. 319-366-1600. The big basketball news out of the Big Ten, by the way, is on the way next. If you're a Hawkeye basketball fan, a familiar name is resurfacing in the conference with a Hawkeye rival. We'll tell you about it on our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update, which is on the way after this.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Flat Screen Thursdays are even bigger in 2017. Every Thursday home game, fans can get a free raffle ticket for a chance to win one of three 40-inch flat screen TVs sponsored by First Federal Credit Union. Fans can also enjoy our Thirsty Thursday specials of $2 12-ounce regular draft beers and 20-ounce bottled soda and water every Thursday. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
4:27, we blew past it about 7 minutes ago, but we could have had the ultimate party moment for some of you listening to this program, although I can't imagine that you'd be partaking and listening to this show, but whatever mellows you out, man, go ahead and do it today of all days, April 20th.
National High Five Day.
It is National High Five Day also here on April 20th. We've got some baseball to get to today. Indians beat the Twins 6-2. Cardinals and Brewers going to be going at it later on tonight, 7:10 first pitch. It's a light day around the majors. The Cubs are off. They'll start a series in Cincinnati tomorrow. Carlos Martinez looking for his first win of the year tonight for the Cardinals. Johnny Peralta goes to the disabled list. Let's go ahead and dive right in with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start with that news about a former Iowa basketball star returning to the Big Ten. Dean Oliver has been hired as an assistant coach at Wisconsin, the former All-Big Ten guard most recently on the staff at Illinois State. Speaking of staffing changes and former Iowa coaches now, Iowa women's basketball assistant Lacey Goldwire has been hired as an assistant at Arkansas. Goldwire spent four seasons working under Lisa Bluter in Iowa City. She also served as the Hawks' recruiting coordinator. The Iowa State men's basketball team has landed the services of Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok, according to ESPN's Jeff Goodman. The 6'5 guard averaged 8.9 points and 2.4 rebounds as a junior last season for the Cavaliers. Shayok will be eligible to play for Steve Prohm in the 2018 season. His addition leaves ISU with three scholarships for next year, according to CycloneFanatic.com. Bradley snapped Iowa's 19-game midweek game-winning streak last night with a 6-4 victory over the Hawkeyes at Dozier Park in Peoria. The Braves scored three runs in the bottom of the eighth inning off Nick Nelson to grab the lead. Then Eric Sherman worked a scoreless ninth for his fifth save of the year. Iowa back in action tomorrow. It'll host Rutgers at Duane Banks Field. And the Colonels open a seven-game homestand tonight. They've got the first of four against Kane County. First pitch is set for 6:35. We've mentioned this the last couple days on the program, but Kane County managed by Butch Hobson, the former manager of the Boston Red Sox.
Todd, I don't know if I'm supposed to bring this up or not on the air, but I'm very impressed.
Always lean in the direction of talking about something you're not sure you should be talking about on the air. On the air. That's the way to do it.
I'm impressed with your acting skills.
Yes. Today.
Today.
We had a little improv class here in the building. And needless to say,
you were the star.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. There was a line about Daisy Dukes, and
Let's just say
it would just take too much to explain, but it was a Dukes of Hazzard reference, and I referenced another character on the program, and it did make some people chuckle.
And if I'm just saying, if the teacher was going to send somebody to the head of the class, it was going to be you, and if he was going to send someone to the back of the class, it was probably going to be me.
It's all about confidence.
I know, and I figured it out eventually, but wow, I just realized how bad of an actor I really am.
Well, the good thing is you're not acting.
That's
true.
You're
sitting behind a microphone. There are major differences there. Making things up as we go along. And yes, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. One person did catch me, so I will put a dollar in the swear jar. But the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
Always astute.
Guessing correctly that the Dukes of Hazzard character referenced with the Daisy Dukes comment was played by Ben Jones. If you're familiar with the program, you know exactly which character he played. We've got Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up with us at 6:30 tonight. We'll talk Iowa Hawkeye quarterbacks at 6 o'clock as well as we continue to count down until kickoff tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium. Again, join us at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We're going to do a little bit of an impromptu pregame show for you, getting ready for that game tomorrow. Coming up next, though, we'll hear from Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker. They met with the media yesterday in Iowa City.
We're going to send you to a bottom-of-the-hour SportsCenter update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 12 years of service.
At Hawkeye Title and Settlement, if we had our way, every house, every store, pretty much every building would be painted black and gold. But alas, ours is not a perfect world. Hi, this is Steve Anderson, and our Hawkeye-loving staff has accepted that fact. So, no matter what color residential or commercial property you're selling or buying, we're here when you need efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Sorry, black and gold paint sold separately. Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Officials in Massachusetts today report an autopsy on former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez confirms his death was a suicide. Hernandez was found dead in his cell Wednesday morning. Breaking news also in New Orleans, where a judge sentences Cardell Hayes to 25 years in prison for the shooting death of former Saints star Will Smith last year. Smith and Hayes had a confrontation after a traffic incident. Tiger Woods had another back surgery this week, his fourth in the last 3 years. The typical recovery time for Wednesday's surgery is 6 months. NBA playoffs tonight. The Spurs and Cavaliers bring 2-game-to-none series leads on the road against the Pacers and the Grizzlies. And in Milwaukee tonight, the Bucks and Raptors play Game 3 with that series tied at 1. Baseball finals today. The Indians beat the Twins 6-2. Carlos Santana drives in 2. The Rays beat the Tigers 8-1. The Astros beat the Angels 2-1. Carlos Beltran's first home run of the season.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
The good news is that if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, order from the Fast Break lunch menu, and don't get your food within 15 minutes, your lunch is free. The bad news is, we don't plan on taking longer than 15 minutes. Free lunches? Are you crazy? What kind of business model is that? Lunch fast or it's free. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
For limited time only at participating locations. Valid for tables of 6 or less. Other restrictions apply. See a participating location for details.
Writing job descriptions, sifting through resumes, setting up interviews. Hiring's hard, but Indeed.com makes it easier. Post your job, manage candidates, schedule interviews, all on Indeed. And since independent research shows that Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, easy works. Right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Dugat's here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist blended Canadian whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
Howdy, folks. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. You have someone in your life you want to get KFC's new $10 chicken share with? It could be a friend, more than a friend, or even a spouse. It's okay. Be brave. Go ahead and say, I want to get a $10 chicken share from KFC and share a chicken with you. It's who you are. Don't be ashamed. Just head to a KFC and share 9 extra crispy tenders, 6 pieces of original recipe, a lot of popcorn nuggets, or 12 hot wings. And don't be afraid to be who you are. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFC's. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Hot wings not available at all locations.
4:36, so back in hour number one of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and thank you for sitting through what was a very blunt discussion of the Jane Meyer trial here on April 20th. Jeff Downing, our associate producer, on the other side of the glass. We're going to put him to work coming up in hour number two, because it is Thursday, and that means another edition of Would You? Text line available for you to chime in during the program, 319-366-1600, and I want everybody to know that I talked with my former co-host yesterday, and he sends everybody here in Eastern Iowa his best wishes, and I thought I was going to have to drop a sympathy card in the mail for him. Unfortunately, there was a bad typo in a newspaper yesterday with the story of Aaron Hernandez committing suicide. The headline on the brief said Keith Hernandez hangs himself in prison. By the way, the coroner has ruled that it indeed was a suicide yesterday involving the former Patriots tight end. There was some people speculating that perhaps he was murdered in his cell. The coroner says no. As a matter of fact, reportedly 3 handwritten notes left behind by Aaron Hernandez. So Keith Hernandez, very much still alive and still doing wonderful work on the Just for Men commercials.
He is.
Alex, it's going to be a while before you need Just for Men.
Well, I hope so. I have a friend who has needed it since he's 20 years old. I don't think I fall in the same gene pool or anything, but it's not unheard of.
I don't ever want to be the guy who dyes his hair.
I will never be.
If you can't age gracefully and embrace the fact that you've got some gray hair, if you've got to be the guy who's got torch black, jet black hair when you're 60, and people are looking at you going, there's no way that that is natural.
Have you seen Greg Williams' mustache and beard, or he just dyes it jet black?
No.
That's what you're talking about, and I want to avoid that as well.
I want to know why people think that that's a better look than having some gray hair. And I don't want to besmirch any grandmothers listening to the program, but my favorite is when old women, like in their 70s, continue to dye their hair. Like, I'm talking fire engine bright red. Ain't buying it. You got gray hair, the whole world knows it. Just go ahead and be gray. Why would anybody be that vain, especially when you're 80? 366-1600, enlighten me. And my apology, no, I'm not apologizing to anybody out there that dyes their hair. If you're offended, you're offended. I'm tired of everybody apologizing for things. Like my wife said something to me the other day that was just absolutely heinous. And then she apologized for it. And I was like, don't apologize. You wouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. You don't need to apologize.
So you're against all apologies?
Well, not all apologies, but I'm tired of people apologizing for things as minuscule and meaningless as, well, I dye my hair and I'm never listening to that program again. Listen to this show for 5 days and I will give you 20 better reasons to not listen than me saying something about you dyeing your hair. That's a promise. 366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Dan Kadar from Mocking the Draft, set to join us in hour number two. We'll take a look at who's rising and who's falling on mock drafts. Is what are we now, a week plus? When is the draft
from tonight
officially kicks off with round one? A week from tonight. And spoiler alert, there are more quarterbacks headed up draft boards.
You talk about talking with your former co-host. I think I might have offended him and some of his new listeners today with that subject of more quarterbacks possibly moving into the first round.
You've got me intrigued now. Almost as intriguing as tomorrow's spring game in Iowa City, because I've said this all week long, looking forward to seeing things under the lights on a Friday night. Hawkeyes mixing some things up, doing things very differently. One guy that we're not going to see much of tomorrow night at all is Akram Wadley, Iowa running back. Iowa's running back has been held out of contact drills this spring, and we all know why, because he's going to be the guy next year. But I thought Brian Ferentz said some interesting things yesterday, and one of them, I don't spend any time on message boards at all anymore, just because when you fall down that rabbit hole, sometimes you can't get back out of it. But this one, I'm sure, caught the attention of a lot of people, and that was Brian Ferentz talking about how they plan to use Akram Wadley next year.
Mark Morehouse asked him the question whether there was going to be maybe a 1B and 1C, similarly to how LaShawn Daniels and Akram Wadley kind of coexisted last year. Here was Brian Ferentz's answer on that subject.
Yeah, I'd say Akram's our starting running back. He's our most productive guy. He's got the most experience. We feel really good about the two young guys that have gotten plenty of work, which has been a real positive. But between Tokes, right, and Torin, we like those guys. We think they can carry the ball in the Big Ten. Is there going to be a 1B? I don't know if it's going to be quite what you saw last year. Boy, you'd like to get Akram a lot of carries. But we talked about matchups, and you know, Akram's a guy that's pretty good in space. So maybe you create some matchups where he's in space and you've got another guy in the backfield, right, that can carry the ball. So I don't know if it'll be true 1A, 1B, but we anticipate those guys carrying the ball a whole bunch. And based on my experience, we're going to need them all. That's just been kind of the way it goes. It all sounds pretty good right now, 1A, 1B, 1C. And then pretty much, you know, November, you got one. Whoever survived the landing, you know.
What was the backup running back that Brian Ferentz mentioned there? I believe his last name is Akinrabadi.
Tokes. Oh, God. The jokes just write themselves.
I didn't even realize that he got mentioned in there. Otherwise, I would have worked that into the open of the program today. Akram Wadley, he's good in space. What do you think that means, if anything, for the Hawkeyes next year as far as Brian Ferentz's offense? You think we're going to see Akram Wadley all over the place?
More than we have. And I'm interested to see how this offense unfolds, but I legitimately believe, I've been in the area, I've been following this team since 2010. I legitimately believe he's the most explosive athlete and one of the most talented football players at the skill position that they've had, maybe the most talented. His ability to make people miss, he is truly a guy that would excel in any offense, especially the spread offense where they could get him in space and use his shiftiness to make people miss. And if you can do that, the better for your offense. So yeah, I think they're going to find very interesting ways to use him, and that could be lining him up at multiple spots.
I hear, by the way, are a couple. Let's go ahead and do these. If you want to do them back to back, that's fine. But Brian Ferentz, a couple mentions about the quote unquote new offense in Iowa City and putting that into place this spring. We'll get those in just a second for you, but I know there's a lot of people out there expecting to see drastic changes from what Greg Davis ran as Iowa's offensive coordinator. And depending on who you talk to this spring, players and coaches, it is either going to be a lot different or it's going to feel the same. And I don't quite know. Well, I have a feeling I know which direction I'll lean toward. I'll lean toward it looking similar, with a few wrinkles. I do think they're going to throw the ball more, but I can't imagine Brian Ferentz is going to deviate too much from what Kirk Ferentz wants to do, but he's going to put a few wrinkles in the offense, especially in the passing game.
And one of the questions he was asked is how quickly he is installing this offense this spring, and here's what he had to say.
We've gotten what we need and to evaluate guys and to find out what we're good at. Certainly you don't get everything put in the spring, but in some ways the spring's difficult because you have so much in. Just like camp, you have a lot of things at your disposal. There's a pretty big arsenal of plays to draw from when you go into those live situations. And I think in some ways that's more difficult for the players and the coaches because we're not as focused as we would be in a game week on this is how we're going to attack, this is what we're going to do. It's a little bit more of, hey, we want to get these things evaluated, we want to get these things on tape so we can coach off of it. So in some ways it's a little harder for the players, right, because there is so much. But on the other hand, not everything is in either. But the things that need to be in right now that need to get installed, those are in.
Brian Ferentz was then asked if he ever has to slow things down when installing this new offense.
Well, anytime you go through an install, you try to be logical and you try to be organized about how you put things in. And everything has a role. Everything has a package. Everything is within a family or a system. And you try to install those day by day. But I think to your question, no, we're not trying to limit the install as far as building it up over time. And the difficult part becomes when you start stacking concepts upon concepts. And so to say that we're throwing everything in, that's probably fair from this standpoint. We're trying to get as much on tape, as much evaluated as we can. But we try not to throw it all at them at once. But it has stacked up over 4 weeks.
Again, Brian Ferentz meeting the media yesterday in Iowa City along with Phil Parker, who very much feels like the forgotten man among the Iowa coaching staff because the focus almost is universally on the offensive side of the ball. And then you add into the fact that the new offensive coordinator shares the last name with the head coach and people have been talking about Brian for quite a bit. But the one thing that we did reference yesterday with regards to what Phil Parker had to say is about a guy who's not going to be at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow night on the field because he's not even on campus yet, and that is A.J. Epenesa, the five-star recruit who headlined Iowa's most recent recruiting class. If you missed it yesterday, here's Phil Parker talking about, well, sort of out of both sides of his mouth because they don't want to put expectations on A.J. Epenesa, but they also may or may not have a plan on what they want to do with him.
Yeah, he's one of the top defensive ends in the country. One thing about it is you come in here and whatever is the best fit for him when he gets here, we'll have to determine that. But I think when you look at him, he's got to come in and understand, first of all, what we call formations, personnel groupings on offense, what defense we're running, what techniques we're using. So he has a lot of things to learn. And to ask a true freshman as a defensive lineman to come in there and say, hey, you're going to be our starting defensive end, or hey, we're going to move you inside and play a three technique or one technique, I think that's a little bit, too much right now. But I just think, get him in here in the summer where we do have some time, get him in the weight room with Coach Doyle, and see how he progresses and see if we can catch him up to speed to make sure that, if we can get 15, 20 plays out of him during a game, I think that would be, very good if we could do that.
Phil Parker sounds a lot less hoarse than Brian Ferentz does.
Yeah, well, and Brian has always been a yeller.
Okay,
I have an inkling that he's been doing a lot of instruction this spring, and you'll probably hear him tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium as well. So they don't want to put any expectations on the young man before he's even on campus, but they're going to go ahead and talk. Yeah, maybe we can get 15, 20 snaps out of him. Maybe 30. I don't know. I agree with what Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com said. By the end of the year next year, A.J. Epenesa is going to be on the field a lot for the Hawkeyes in that mix. And I think that's a good thing. If you're Iowa, this kid is a tremendous athlete. But not in the mix tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium. 7:06 is what they list the official start time as. Admission is free. The gates will open at 6 o'clock. The broadcast will be delayed on the Big Ten Network, but John Campbell will be calling the play-by-play along with former Iowa players Danan Hughes and Chuck Long. And just the fact that there's going to be this amount of production and play-by-play, and they're calling it a spring game, I think we're going to see a little bit more traditional action tomorrow than we normally have in recent years, where it was you were attending an open practice for about an hour plus, and then they would sort of scrimmage, and you didn't. Now, the one thing they didn't do that I thought they were going to was do away with the scoring system, but for the most part, it looks like it is still intact.
I'm no expert on the matter, but I'm guessing if they wanted to have it on TV, there has to be some sort of scoring system to make this TV viewable. Now, they're not going to go teams. They're not going to do a draft. Or whoever the number one draft pick with all the guys being out would be a mystery anyway. But it's offense versus defense. The defense can gain points by negative plays, sacks, pass breakups, etc. It's not going to be a full-out scrimmage, but there will be some sort of scoring system, which I think it kind of needs to be in place if it's going to be viewable on TV.
By the way, we are hearing from men on the text line who are going gray at a younger age than I am, and they are owning it.
Good for them.
Good on them. We've got someone who's 31. We've got someone who's 35. And then we've got, I believe it was Ryan in Walford says that if the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup, I should have to dye my hair. You know what? I would almost take that right now, because not only would they have to come win four straight against Nashville, but they'd have to win all of the remaining series in front of them as well. I would say it's a safe bet, but we'll get into this a little bit coming up on Would Ya in hour number two, because the pressure is on someone tonight. Is it on Nashville? Is it on Chicago? And by the way, we've got a couple people coming through with some very good Would Ya's on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. When we come back, not only are we going to give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, but we're going to tell you how you can join us out and about in the corridor for another season of Lunchbox Heroes. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. In the course of deciding on the purchase of a new or used vehicle, we understand that you have a lot of choices. Choices of vehicles and choices of places to buy them. I have the privilege of working with a great sales staff at Toyota of Iowa City, where we have always tried to make certain that not only do you get a really good deal, but that you also really enjoy your buying experience. We sell some of the very best, most dependable vehicles in the world. We have a fantastic certified used car program, and every used vehicle we sell comes with continued care that includes 2 full years of free oil changes and free tire rotations with no mileage restrictions. We have 0% financing available on many of our new Toyota models or fantastic low lease payments on almost all models. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, come check out the place that so many Eastern Iowans choose. Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
When you need help with your garage door, it's a lot easier to ask one person with hands-on experience a few questions than it is to drive over to the big door companies and get passed around until you finally get to speak to the person who can answer your questions. Well, Olinger Garage Door is a small company with dedicated folks who help you from sales to service. Olinger Garage Doors, based in Newhall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas. The small town guys meeting the big needs of their neighbors. Olinger GarageDoors.com.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Got some property to take care of? Let a Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help you get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today. To find your local Kubota dealer, visit iowakubotadealers.com.
Worse yet, you've got the Gene Katy, which is dyeing your hair and then adding the bad comb over on top of it, which is a twofer. It is almost time to begin hour number two of the program tonight, but before that, we've got to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start north of the border in America's Dairyland, where a former Iowa basketball player is returning to the Big Ten. Dean Oliver joins Greg Gard's staff as an assistant at Wisconsin. The former All-Big Ten guard most recently was an assistant coach at Illinois State. The Iowa State men's basketball team has landed the services of a Virginia transfer. Mariel Shayok will be a Cyclone, according to ESPN's Jeff Goodman. The 6'5 guard averaged 8.9 points and 2.4 rebounds as a junior last season for the Cavaliers. He is not a graduate transfer, so he'll have to sit out next season before being eligible in 2018. That gives Iowa State three scholarships for next season, according to CycloneFanatic.com. Iowa women's basketball assistant coach Lacey Goldwire has been hired as an assistant at Arkansas. Goldwire spent four seasons working under Lisa Bluter in Iowa City, also serving as Iowa's recruiting coordinator. Bradley snapped Iowa's string of 19 consecutive midweek victories last night with a 6-4 win over the Hawkeyes in downtown Peoria. The Braves scored three runs in the bottom of the eighth off Nick Nelson to grab the lead. Then Eric Sherman closed the door in the ninth for his fifth save of the season. Hawkeyes will be back in action tomorrow in Iowa City. They host Rutgers for a 6 p.m. first pitch at Duane Banks Field.
Now, I'm not trying to be a troll here, but did you see Chris Bosio's comments on Eric Thames?
I did not.
We'll get to those maybe a little bit later, but he comes very, very close to accusing him of a certain something.
Chris Bosio, who, by the way, I do not believe dyes his hair. I think he is gray and owning it. Would you dye your hair, someone asks on the text line. 366-1600. I don't see the point. And you're not fooling anybody. And the darker you dye it, the worse it looks. I'm putting it out there. Would ya comes up next as the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn enters hour number two.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Lobster is really just a fancy way to eat butter. Nobody wants to read the poetry you wrote in college.